Welcome back to another episode of Scenario. We are back. We are back. Our people, thank y'all for listening as always. Matt, what's going on, my brother?
I got a baked potato in the microwave right now.
So they're gonna hear it. Come on and
I'm gonna eat that thing during this show for sure.
I mean,
I'm starving.
It's only right that you come back eating.
I haven't eaten in a while. Like
no,
I've been,
you haven't.
I haven't been eating like in life. I haven't eaten in a while, but like I haven't eaten through a show recently.
You haven't eaten on a show in a long time.
I haven't ate chips in a little while. I haven't. We also haven't done a show on a Saturday in a little while because I'll eat throughout the day on a Saturday.
Yeah, and this is a different kind of move that we do.
I ate some sushi on the show a little while back. That was good. Usually drinking. I'm almost always drinking throughout the show.
Yeah, we got to do that, man. That's a part of
Except for the time that you and Van drank a fifth.
Oh, that
yeah,
was.
And we did a 4-hour show.
Yeah, that was.
And a after and a post show.
Yeah.
On Instagram. You have to bring the post shows back.
We got to, man.
It's hard to do them, though, because there's not a place to put the camera. I don't know. If y'all want us to do post show, we'll do a post show. It's kind of weird to do a post show for a show that you're not going to get until after it comes out.
So it's not like you don't know what we're talking about.
It's kind of like, yeah. I mean, I guess we could do like a preview. Is it a preview if it's a post show?
A preview post show?
Yeah.
I guess.
Everything else got a post show now. Fucking Walking Dead's got a post show. Game of Thrones had a post show.
And they got a pre-show too.
Do they?
Mm-hmm.
I need a pre-show for Game of Thrones because like it's coming back and I don't feel like I'm a part of Westeros anymore.
That's what we're going to have to do one.
For that whole thing?
Yeah, we're going to have to catch people back up. It's been a whole year.
I want to recast Game of Thrones with niggas.
We supposed to have been done that. People have been asking about that email.
We'll do it. Oh, at this point, it's been like it's content that we might as well sit on because the show's been gone for like.
And we got to sit down and write out who we think. I got to go look at the cast on Wikipedia and literally think who would think and put a name and then we just debate on it.
We got mini brackets coming next week, though. We got Christmas brackets next week.
Christmas movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's coming soon.
Die Hard.
That it. I was going to say the same shit.
Fuck y'all that don't think. Let's clear a few things up. Die Hard is a Christmas movie,
mm-hmm.
Hot dogs are a sandwich. Mm-hmm. And a taco is not a sandwich. Maybe that's what I'll eat tonight.
Tacos?
Man, dude, I'm really hungry.
So you're really
Can I eat hungry. A baked potato and then eat tacos?
I mean,
I got to go to a beach in 4 days. I've kind of already chalked it up as a lost cause.
Maybe.
Whatever. I don't care.
You're going to be eating quesadillas and all kind of stuff there, though. So, I mean, you kind
of. Am I?
In Mexico?
I don't know. I'm going for a wedding, and like it's like
Mexico. You think that you're gonna be in Mexico? And you're not gonna eat Mexican food?
I didn't have a taco last time I was in Mexico.
You didn't have any quesadilla. You don't have anything. No rice and beans. No nothing.
Oh, I had rice and beans. Yeah. Wait. Did I have taco? No. They don't eat that shit like we do. Like they have like it's just like a plate. You know what I mean? So like they just got like food out there.
I've never been to Mexico, so
you should go. It's cheap as hell.
I mean, my thought.
I got a direct
tours in full effect.
If you start going international thought tours,
no, it is though. It's going because I'm going to Carabana next year though.
We're gonna have an intervention.
And you're gonna have to try to figure out this too though. Dub wants us all go to Carabana next year.
No, Dub is doing very well for
himself. Yeah, he is. That nigga motherfuckers like us got to figure out this shit.
If that nigga wants me to go, I'm sure if it's in his heart, he'll make a way for it to happen.
If he can find a way in his heart to make it happen.
I wish that motherfucker was here right now. I told him, hey, man, give me $300 until next week.
Just out the strength.
And he was like, okay, man, when are you going to get it back? I'm like, nigga, you're not even going to know you spent it. Like, come on, dog.
Hey, man, Dub is doing well for himself.
Like, I'm not doing bad for myself, but, like, out of the majority of my friends who have do the things that they've done, out of many of my friends, I have many of my friends. Like, come on, dog. Like.
Dub is up there, though.
What's $300 to Dub or the Big O?
Nothing.
It's like sugar packets at the restaurant. Packets. You know how you just grab as many sugar packets as you want?
Yeah.
Oh, I want my drink to be a little sweeter. That's not like how they get $300 out the ATM.
I want my boy to shine a little bit.
Yeah. Instead, I got to get this motherfucker $300 next week. I'm upset about that. I'm not really upset. Pay your debts. Don't be that person, guys.
Yeah, don't be that dude.
Don't be the person that takes advantage of your rich friends because your rich friends. You never want money from your rich friends because they going to be on shit that's, like, awesome, and you're going to be a part of it because you got rich friends.
Yeah.
That's just the main benefit. It's like having friends with kids. Like, you're going to get to go to dope-ass birthday parties because they got kids. I mean, because they got kids. Yeah, they have kids, and kids have dope-ass birthday parties. Like, there's benefits in your friends.
Having kids.
Yeah. Like, granted, sometimes I don't even think I follow my friends on Facebook anymore because I don't ever see them. I see their kids so much, I feel like I'm friends with their kid on Instagram or Facebook.
The kid doesn't really know you, though, but you feel like you
know
the
kid. But, like, I look at the kid. Yeah, the kid doesn't know me for shit. But, like, I look at the kid and I'd be like, oh, that's their adult. Not like I look at my friends and like, oh, that's their kid. Because they put their kids on the joint so much. I'd be like, oh.
That's their adult.
Okay, I know you. I don't ever see you anymore. Because I see your kid five times a day.
Hey, man, it's just the way it is now, man.
I know, man. People proud of their kids. Yo.
Shout out to our man, Emery, who you were going back and forth with on the Facebook fan page. If you go to Stroud Low Cash and the Scenario Facebook fan page.
What'd I do?
He was talking about, what did you gave me the nickname or something? The nickname y'all gave me on the thread?
Oh, Hawkeye Daryl? Hawkeye Daryl. Can you talk about that?
Shout out to Emery. He also emailed me personally. He was like, we should get a thought tour update every time you go out of town. And have Matt comment on what your social media happenings and his perspective of
I'm available to is. I'm available to do
well,
that.
I'm going to the Brooklyn Nets game this Friday.
Of course you are. who's bringing
and they're
you
playing we're playing Washington who's, Bullets or whatever the Wizards. I call them the Bullets still.
Yeah, they're the Bullets.
Who's, it's gonna be funny because
who's
now,
bringing you out?
My gig is. Here you go. Because somebody, of course, is flying me out. It's got to be, you know, not myself. It's got to be some man or woman or corporation flying me out, not myself. And that's the whole purpose of the thought tour is that I'm being flown out for different events. Just like, look, you're getting a potato right now, man. But no, I'm going to Brooklyn Nets game. Y'all will hear this, actually. If you're going to the Brooklyn Nets game, I'll be there tonight. When this comes out, I'll be there that night, this Friday. So when you're there, if you're there, hit me up. I'll be there in Section 208. If you look online, you'll see where Section 208 is. I'll be in 208.
Daryl will take an Instagram picture with you with a filter on your face.
Oh, for sure. Oh, I'm doing all kind of filters, man. It's my company's holiday party there. So I'll be there. And then also... giving my thought tour announcements, like a church announcements. I'll be in San Antonio for the Alamo Bowl. So all my our San Antonio listeners.
Who y'all playing?
Washington State for the Alamo Bowl.
That's gonna be a good game.
Oh, it's gonna be a good game. I kind of want it to be Oregon though, just because Oregon will sell out some shit, and Phil Knight might come down and give people Nikes. I don't
just
even
bless
know.
Cats.
Just bless random people with Nikes. I don't even. That's my dream is that to be at somewhere Phil Knight is blessing people with Nikes.
Like Michael Jordan just come through and just
Well, why not in San Antonio for the bowl game? So shout out to everybody that's down there as well. That tour is still will be continuing in 2019 as well, but I'll release those dates as they
Jamaican air horns
as the more that tour comes on out. Matt, you had some thoughts going and you wanted to clown me for something.
Put it that way. You're taking the air out of my sails now.
That's you got to do that.
I just feel like it's not me clowning you if it's social responsibility. I feel like if I'm having to keep you accountable to yourself and your station in life, I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do. I don't know. Some people call it a hero. I just call it a Tuesday. But so I was perusing the social medias the other day, and I saw a post of yours that, you know, I don't want to say like red alert. Like I wasn't like panicked. Like, oh my God, what's happening in the world? But there's some app that you found that had a picture of you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It looked like it might have been from Club 7.
but, no, it was at a wedding. Shout out to Thomas, your frat brother, my boy Thomas, that you met at my wedding.
Yeah. Good dude.
From Kansas City. It was at his. I was in his wedding. That was from his wedding.
Okay. Cool.
but you said let's not get
schematics.
Let's not get bogged down in details.
Let's not do that. But you found an app that had a picture of you on one side and then a picture of you as a woman on the other side.
Yeah, and I was fine as hell both times.
Yeah. So, I'm gonna give you an opportunity to. Mm-hmm. Maybe
to explain this
to maybe
I kind of look like Michelle Williams, I think. Oh. The more I like, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Now I got to represent. I kind of did, I guess. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little like Michelle Williams slash
Michelle Williams from Dawson's Creek, or
no, Michelle Williams from Disney's Channel.
Because you had blonde hair,
right? That's why I was going with that. This facially, the way they had me with my lips and all that, kind of like Michelle Williams from Disney's Channel. That's kind of how it kind of was conveyed with the app.
And how did this make you feel?
I was like, man, I kind of look fly either way, though, man. Like, I could have, like, if I was born a woman, I would have been fine.
Did you show this to the women in your life?
Yeah, it's on the streets.
What'd they think?
They's like, you do look good, though. I'm like, you know, you goddamn right. And I was like, oh, that's why my daughter looks so good, because her daddy looks good, too, though. Because really, it's, well, no, I won't say that. Because I know some ugly ass dudes, though, that got some attractive daughters. Shout out to, I won't do that.
Don't do that.
I won't do that.
You look like.
But you went to college with somebody who's famous, whose daughter is fine, and went to college with you, too, though.
I went to school with somebody that's famous.
Well, locally, sports-wise, famous, and his daughter went to school with you, and she's fine.
Okay.
And he's not attractive.
Okay.
He knows he is, though, I think, to a bigger
level. When do you realize you're not attractive?
When you realize that you have to spend more money on your friends, though, to get women at the bar. I think you probably look like, damn, man, Matt only spent $20 to get, like, he bought two drinks for her, and she really engaged.
That would be a record level of drinks bought by me.
I was doing an
that would be like a night that I was just hitting shots from all over the court.
Well, I was just saying I was getting an arbitrary number.
Oh, I know.
And then he's spending $100, and now she's
still leaving with somebody else.
Maybe, and that's what potentially could happen.
If that happens, you got to spend $300 because you got to buy $200 worth of drinks for yourself to get over that.
Or you got to just buy a bottle and kind of try to keep her in your booth area and keep her away from other men.
You got to get a booth.
Right, which means you're ugly. If you have to do that to be able to date in the landscape.
What are the levels of club of fitness?
That's a good question. So, clarify this question a little bit more for you. What do you mean by that?
You go to the club,
mm-hmm.
and like you look around and you're like, all right, so this dude from Superstar, when you're just walking in, you're just doing whatever, you're living your life to like, African dude who's buying bottles and got white women in the booth. Like those are the degrees of distance.
Yes. But then the same African dude will see the black girl going to I'm just with them because they're loose. I really want me
see,
a black
girl. I'm talking
group.
About all the way sold out African dudes that
the ones that
want
act like they
won't
even acknowledge the black girls. Yeah. Okay. So the ones that totally are, so they're probably Nigerian, I'm assuming.
Most likely, yes.
Yeah. Shout out to our Nigerian listeners. You know where it is.
Peace and love.
And you know what it is, though. You know we're not lying either, though.
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying all Nigerians
but
do
you that. Know that the ones that are doing that. Or Kenyan, maybe.
I don't know the difference, kind of.
No, there's a big difference.
I don't know the difference between a dude from California and a dude from New York until they open their mouth, though, so I don't know.
Well, no, I was talking about
like if a nigga walks in the club dressed like the dude off Belly, I'm gonna be like, all right, he's probably
from New York,
from Jamaica.
Oh, you're talking about ox. It's my ox.
Yes.
But an ox. Oh, you want to fuck with me?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good question, man. I guess the levels would be, but then there's different swag and different social areas where different people are not going. I don't think you can get all the different levels in one place unless you're in Vegas.
Vegas clubs.
I think that's the only place that you can get every type of person that is a club, the a person
every
going
type
out
of person on
that,
earth,
that, on earth at one club at one night. That's the only city.
No, I agree with that 100% of the way. I've seen everything possible.
Yeah, in Vegas.
Yeah.
In Vegas club, yeah.
I've seen more tricking, though. There's more tricking that happens in a Vegas club than any place on earth.
More than Miami?
Yeah, because, you know, the difference is in Miami, you almost got to bring a little bit of sand to the beach. So I don't always necessarily call it tricking because you almost got to have a woman to get into the club in Miami.
Right, you got to have somebody.
Vegas,
which, even if you ain't even
in
dating
Vegas, you rolling crew deep usually. So it'll be like 8 dudes and like 7 be tricking hard.
Yeah. I want to tell this a story time about how I was out with a Michigan State player.
Do it. It's a nice intro to some of the things we have coming up for people.
So, I was a Michigan State player, and one
Kelvin
of my friends.
Torbett.
No.
Okay.
This 2000s player. He's a year older than me.
Zach Randolph.
Zach Randolph's younger than me.
Okay.
Is
Same age as you.
Yeah.
No, he's a year younger than you.
Yeah. This person is actually older than me. This person.
Mateen Cleese.
No. Okay. In between that. Right after that. Right
Morris,
after that.
Morris Peterson.
No, Morris Peterson, same class as him.
All right. I'm not.
This, but this is like right. Like he's on that squad though. So
Jason Richardson.
No. Okay. No. This is somebody that. When I say their name, you be like, oh, shit. I'll tell you off the air. You be like, oh, shit.
Magic Johnson.
So I'm out with a friend of mine, one of my best friend as a girl, her brother, me. They're all from Michigan. You're probably filling the blanks if you know me. So I'm with her brother in Vegas. And this guy he's had too many DUIs. He has a backpack he has to take with him wherever he goes. He has to blow into it. At a certain time, to be able to get to fulfill his parole situation or whatever, so we're in the spot. He has bought bottles for everybody else. So he's got a backpack, like a full backpack. This motherfucker is like big as hell, with a full machine. This motherfucker. So this is 2004, 2005 ish, or whatever. So now his reporting time is East Coast.
Oh no!
You already know where this is going.
They're making niggas it's do two on in the run
no,
math.
It's 2 a.m. No, he's able to kick it because it's 2 a.m. that he has to report Eastern time.
Oh, so he's living his best life.
So he literally blow. We like. I'm like, damn man. He like he bought all these bottles. He ain't kicking it. Her brother goes, nah, just wait. So it's 2 a.m. East Coast. So it's 11 there. So we got there maybe 10. Maybe 10, something like that. Maybe 3 a.m. But it was a three or four hour discrepancy. 3 hour discrepancy. Gotcha. He gets his time and literally blows out the spot. Then we start getting spark. We just had a couple of bottles of my wet then. We got sparklers all of a sudden. We got the whole thing running because he was in the NBA for a couple of years. Well, he was still in the NBA at that time. So he rolled out the red carpet then. Soon as he blew into his thing, knowing they said, beep, beep, you're fine or whatever. We got the girls coming by with the sparklers, the whole nine. It's like, it was like night and day. I was like, man, we got a lame ass booth. Wasn't after that. It's almost like every woman, random agent, everybody start going, hey, nice to see you, such and such. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm glad you got your thing done. I'm like, wow.
Where'd it turn up, Magic Johnson?
Wasn't Magic Johnson, but this person was drafted in the second round.
But he knows Magic Johnson.
Yes. 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 He's from Flint too.
Oh. Draymond Flint. Green.
No. Draymond. No.
I'm going to name everybody except for the person.
Oh, you're not going to get it. You're not going to get it.
I'm going to get it on air, but I know who we're talking about, though.
You know?
Yeah.
I told you the story?
I know the timeline we're talking
about. Oh, okay.
I'm just saying everybody except on purpose. It's all right. Yeah. It's good. It's cool.
So y'all can figure out potential on the back end.
Please continue, but, Charlie Bell. It's not Charlie Bell.
Or is it?
Nah, it's not.
Let's go down to the next topic.
I can tell you some stories about some athletes that have had to go over and above. To
you're going
to
see
life.
Going into 2019, we're going to do some. We want to give you a little bit more quick content, though, too, though. Just stories from the Highway Patrol almost.
For things that matter to both of us, the Kings just beat the Bulls by 19.
Thank you.
So the world is on the track.
Look here, we are in the Bulls to lose every game. Shout out to my boy, Tricky Trey from Chicago Heights, that is upset that we are cheering against the Bulls to win.
Here's the thing to me, though.
He's like, they can make the playoffs still. I know they can't, man.
Here's the thing for me. I'm hoping that this year is the year that at least two of my teams get the number one pick in the draft. Mm-hmm. I'm a 49ers fan, and even though they won yesterday, so did the Raiders, and so did the Cardinals.
So
and the 49ers still have the number one pick, with I think the rest of their schedule is the Rams, the Eagles, and maybe the Saints.
So all three of them got to win these
games. Yeah, they're done. They're done winning for the year, in other words. So, at any rate, it's the Bulls.
But who y'all want, though?
Nick Bosa.
Wow, Nick Bosa finna go from... Damn, so Nick Bosa is going to be the number one pick? Is that what the consensus is?
Pretty sure, yeah. Yeah.
I haven't looked at the draft. Wow.
Yeah. I'm excited about that. Need an edge rusher. Be a good thing. If he's supposed to be better than his brother. I'll take his brother number one most years, if not.
Right.
Brother played 4 games this year, got 5 sacks.
You do the math.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's like Tim Duncan efficiency. Anyway, though, if I can get the Bulls to, you know, I'm not greedy. I just want the Bulls to be in the top two.
Yeah.
I just want the Bulls to be in the top two. That's all. It looks like the Blues are going to be in the top 5 somewhere. So, I mean, I'm in a good place. But here's the thing. Rooting for your teams and not have success is one of the wonderful things about sports. Because even if your team isn't good and there's no chance in hell they're going to win a title, just root for the opposite. You still are getting some enjoyment out of the outcome of the season. Mm-hmm. Now, the worst thing is like if your squad goes 500.
Oh, the mediocrity?
That's the worst.
Mediocrity?
Yeah. Mediocrity is the worst. It's like when you get an album, like your favorite artist drop an album and the only thing good on it is the first single. And you don't even know what the second single going to be.
But that first single is hard, though. It's a hard first single,
But see, that's the letdown, though, because no, you so ain't heard that album.
No, I'm saying, though.
What's the album that let you down the most in your life? That, like, a single hit and you is like, yo, I think we about to have some fucking flames on this one.
Method Man, second album.
Ooh, good call.
I think that's the most disappointing album, one of the most disappointing albums I've ever had. Because only the song on there was the makeups, the breakups, and then the song with Redman on there. He had 3 songs on there. There's probably some other ones people probably can list out. But that one was very disappointing, though. That Method Man album. Tecal 2000, to be exact. It's the album Tecal 2000.
I think mine was Mystical's album that came out. The one that was, oh, damn. Which album was it? I was in high school.
It's after Pieces of a Man, then, right?
It was when he was on No Limit.
Right, but Pieces of Manda when I was dope with the man right here on there.
Yeah, it was after that. Yeah, it was after that.
Not the one with Danger and all that on there, right?
Ghetto Fabulous.
What was on Ghetto Fabulous?
Mystical Ghetto Fabulous was the one that made me be like, oh man, why did this happen?
What the fuck was on that album?
They came out in 98 and it was
What was this? What was the dope single? Oh, That's the Nigga. That's the Nigga.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Nick. That was a hard song, though.
But the rest of the album was trash. Not.
But that song was hard, though. Yeah,
that song had me ready, and I was like, "Oh, what happened?"
Wow, I forgot all about this album.
Can't forget about it. It's like the movie you went to go see, and you're like,
"And that album sold 2 million, almost 3 million mm-hmm. records."
Yep, you got paid.
Unpredictable is what I'm thinking about. Unpredictable is one that was pretty dope.
Yes, Unpredictable was dope.
Yeah.
And Let's Get Ready was dope, too, that came after it.
Yeah, Let's Get Ready was straight, too. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
This is what you call an albatross, a white elephant. It doesn't make sense that it exists, but here we are. So.
I'm trying to think. There's some other albums, man.
Oh, there's a lot of albums.
It's probably, I just can't think of them right now.
Shout out. Let us know the albums that, like, you was excited for. We might have
a whole episode on that.
We might have Vandalism on next week. So,
but that's a good. That's
I
a
know
good,
he got a whole thing about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's a good. Good. Actually, that Nori Melvin.
Melvin Flint
album. They had one dope joint, the Blood Money.
Yes.
Blood Money 3 was super dope. The what was it? The case, the New York versus Melvin Flint or Melvin mm-hmm. Flint versus somebody, whatever. I remember that one had one joint. I was like, God damn, this album's trash. But that it was Blood Money, that Blood Money 3 that came out. And they may have one other single off of there, off that Nori album. I'm just trying to think offhand. Ooh, it's a whole bunch, though, man.
It's a lot. I mean, we can get to a lot of those. I just need to go pull my old CD book out. I'm sure I got a bunch of them in there. But yeah, so... I don't even remember.
It's the Melvin Flint the Hustler album.
Melvin Flint the Hustler, yeah.
Yep.
Yep. There was a Cameron album like that, too. That had one side. Maybe it was Purple Haze. That had one joint
it's
on it.
It's probably SDE you think about. Sports, Drugs, and Entertainment, that second one.
That's with Horse and Carriage and all of that.
No. That's the one that's got What Means the World to You? My Money, My Thing, My Bad, I Dough. What Means the World to You? What Means the World to You is on that. It's the Sports, Drugs, and Entertainment.
What album is
Horse and Carriage on the first one? That was dope. That Confessions of Fire is dope.
Oh, I was picturing the cover in my head.
Yeah. SDE's, you talking about that second one. Because yeah. He came back hard on the third one on Rockefeller.
Oh. You talking about coming home with
yeah.
me?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, you talking about SDE oh. though. What means the world to you?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the one you're talking about.
You're talking about, I mean, come home with me is.
Yeah.
I might listen to that tonight. When I go and find some food that's not this goddamn baked potato.
Yeah, Blood Money Part 3 is the joint on there that was super dope on that Nori album.
Makes sense.
That Blood Money 3 on that Melvin Flint the Hustler album.
Makes sense.
And I bought that too.
Now, speaking of which, Ty Dolla $ign might be keeping it a little too real right now. Break into it, dog. Break into
so
it.
He so he got caught with coke, distribution coke and weed with him.
In case you don't know, yeah. Ty Dolla $ign got indicted on felony drug charges. Cocaine and marijuana charges that could land him with 15 years in jail. God damn.
Georgia, so did this, Georgia ain't no joke, though. Georgia ain't no joke with their Georgia laws.
Did he see that Meek Mill came in and came out, and he feels like and this barely, is like a normal
barely
thing.
Got out.
Yeah, what NFL owners is Ty Dolla $ign cool with? Hey, you this know, is the wrong time to be a West Coast cat and get locked up. There's a lot of dope stuff about to kick off on the West Coast. LeBron just got there.
Mm-hmm.
Rams.
A lot of people boy. That they can hang out with. Like you said, like, a lot of owners and people that's got money can hang out with.
About to go down out west.
You got Todd Gurley and the Rams out there kicking it.
Killing it. New stadium coming soon.
New stadium. Oh, you know everybody want to kick it there. They got condos they build in the goddamn mm-hmm. stadium area. Yeah, this is the wrong time for Ty Dolla $ign to be. Damn, man.
Yeah. Ty Dolla $ign's been indicted on federal charges of cocaine and marijuana possession. TMZ reports and documents viewed. TMZ reports it, so you know it's going to actually go all the way down.
Yeah,
exactly. Charges could lead to a prison sentence of up to 15 years. The indictment includes two felony charges. So that's 10 walking at least.
What, number one, why are you still trapping and you got that much money? But it makes sense because I watched, if anybody gets a chance, watch Remastered. I watched the Remastered Who Killed Jam Master Jay on Netflix. And allegedly, Jam Master Jay was selling drugs on the side or wholesaling drugs on the side to try to keep up his money, though. Because he's taking care of so many people, doing all kinds of different things to help out people within his circle of people or whatnot, or his family and shit. Is Ty Dolla $ign on that where he's like, yo, I had a couple little hits. I ain't been popping for a little bit. My little guest appearances, they cool. They a little 15K check. But I need more, though. I didn't bought a Maserati, Lamborghini, and a Navigator, and bought my mama a house, and bought my daddy that F-150. Plus my boys. And you trying to keep up, and you like on some like, but then why are you holding the drugs though? Why are you doing it?
I don't know, dog. If you're the target for anything, like just don't
if you're the talent, why are you involved with anything?
Exactly.
Why are you hand to hand on shit in general?
You know the problem is cats become superstars and they don't be having no good utility man.
And they don't have nobody that can, they don't have no Stringer Bell with them.
None. You might not want a Stringer Bell.
Good Stringer Bell.
Yeah, you at least need a Weebay.
Yeah. No, Weebay is more of a henchman.
Well, Weebay is a definitive henchman.
Yeah. But I'm saying Stringer Bell before Stringer Bell. But Stringer Bell in the Stringer Bell in the good sense, not Stringer Bell
over
the fuck nigga. Or
Weebay is up there with Luca Brasi as far as henchmen of all time.
Oh, yes. Oh my God, yes.
Question. Manny on Scarface, mm-hmm. utility man or henchman?
Utility man.
Okay.
He'll get down with you if he got to, but Manny really don't. And Manny can order it out.
Henchmen of all time is in that movie, though. The dude that walks in at the end with the shades on and puts that steel on Tony Montana.
Yeah.
He's a henchman to the umpteenth power.
He's like when the military, if you're an enlisted man, he's like a sergeant major.
Yes.
He's the highest level of a henchman you can get. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't, if you as an enlisted person, you're the highest.
Henchman superior.
Yeah. Henchman superior. That's the highest level you can get. But you got to have somebody with you that can carry. Why am I touching any of those drugs, though? Why am I around
Listen,
with
if the, we living on my
if,
money.
If I'm having to be doing that.
If we living it up on my money, I'm not going to be the one holding the things my money is bringing to the party. I'm just going to put it that way.
Or even if we selling it, even if we
even if I got a fifth, I ain't holding it.
Somebody better be pouring my drinks if I done bought all this alcohol.
Yeah.
I don't even want to hold my cup.
Suzanne, you gonna pay somebody to actually serve you your...
I'm not paying anybody anything because we living on my dollar.
I said somebody's gonna actually put the cup to your mouth though. Yes. Drink it.
Yes, like this microphone is in front of my face right now and it's on a standee. There's gonna be somebody that's gonna be holding my drink.
That's some gangster shit though, actually.
Yeah, man.
I don't think Eddie Murphy even did that.
Probably did. If it's gangster, Eddie Murphy probably did it. He had one dope henchman all the time too.
His brother.
Yeah.
But is his brother really his consigliere though? But he was just a rough ass consigliere. He's just an extra consigliere. You like,
I'm sorry. The third best henchman. The henchman Superior is the dude off of Scarface. But yes. Charles Oakley is number three.
He's a consigliere though too.
No, he's no.
Nah, he's a consigliere because he was still. He's there, like, constantly for what you need.
He might be the toughest utility man of all time.
Or is he an underboss? Because an underboss can get rough, too, though.
Oh, shit. That's a... No, wait. We can't do underboss. That,
we now, need to do an episode on Mafia.
No, now Mafia. If we're doing underboss, we're talking about rewriting the sacred grail of the crew roles. So I'm not... I'm not doing that. Because there's no boss of a crew.
Yeah.
The superstar is not a boss. He's just the most notable person. Just the most notable
person.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't have an underboss rewrites the entire
dynamic. But underboss is number two, the number two man, though.
The underboss is like your wife or your girlfriend to you.
No, but no, the underboss is number two, though.
I was trying to see if somebody would go down that path.
No.
If you think that your wife or your girlfriend is an underboss.
Underboss is number two, man.
She's sleeping with somebody
else.
You
want to be the underboss.
I'm the underboss of my relationship. That's maybe. On a good day.
You might be. But then you got consigliere. It's the mafia shit is pretty. Are you saying underboss? Within the terms of, we don't want to say underboss, but I'm saying number two man is Oakley.
Chris Parlow and Snoop, like, tied for the number three henchmen of all time?
What was the other dude that was the one that was, Yeah, Marlon ran his crew kind of fucked up. I guess, by default, Chris Parlow is the underboss.
Marlon ran his crew like Magneto.
It's me and a whole bunch of other niggas.
Yeah.
Yeah, because...
Like, I got the folks I holler at, but...
I mean, I guess Chris Parlow is the underboss.
Is Marlon more Magneto or Apocalypse?
Apocalypse.
I think so, too.
Magneto at least would fuck with some people, though. Yeah. Marlon really... He fuck with them... He only fuck with them because they're loyal, not because he fuck with them because he liked them.
Marlo didn't fuck with anybody for real.
He fuck with them because they're loyal, not because, oh, yo, I like you as a person. I fuck with you. He's like, no, I fuck with them because they're loyal. They do what the fuck I need to do.
I feel like Marlo would have aced them if he needed to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Quiet as kept, he kind of threw Chris Parlow under the bus.
Yeah, he did. But Chris kind of was like,
I'm taking an L, though. That's an underboss. Yeah,
hey,
underboss.
Yo, shout out to dude that plays Chris, though, man. He's doing some dope shit.
He's a
now.
Great fucking actor, though.
Like, he's doing the To Kill a Mockingbird stage play with Jeff Bridges that they're doing.
So how they doing? How is that
constructed? They've updated To Kill a Mockingbird. It was on 60 Minutes last weekend.
Okay.
And, like, they've updated it, but now it's, like, more... It's still the same storyline, but it's like more in time, in turn with the times now.
Culturally and everything.
And he's the main black character in it.
There was no black character.
Yeah, it was. The one that was on trial.
Oh, To Kill a Mockingbird. I'm thinking One Who Flew the Cuckoo's Nest in My Head.
Yeah, no. Yeah, they've redone it. They've redone it now. So, like, yeah, I thought that was hot.
Oh, and it's a Broadway play, or is it just...
No, it's on Broadway, yeah.
Oh, shit.
With Jeff Bridges and Aaron Sorkin wrote it.
Oh, shit.
So, like, that's super hot. What's his name? Gabenga?
He's from Europe, too.
Yeah, I can't remember. But shout out to him, though, man. Mad respect to him. But, yo, Ty Dolla $ign, man. Like, everybody out here, even if you're not, like, a hip-hop star or anything like that, yo, if you're the center of everything, hey, man, don't be holding the weight. Like, chill out. Like, what's wrong with you? Why are you even bothering like that? Speaking of holding the weight.
Shout out to me not going to see this when I go to New York. Tickets are starting at $4.99.
Yeah, that's probably going to be something I'm not going to be a present for.
I was like, 'cause I'm going to be in New York. I was just looking it up real quick. I was like,
you know who can't go? Who? Dub.
Dub will fuck around and be like, hey, y'all want to go?
No, he wouldn't ask us if we want to go. He'd tell us he's going.
And then, oh no, when he's there already though, like, hey man, you can get a flight though.
Yeah.
On Wednesday, and the thing is on Friday.
He was at the Tyson Fury.
Yeah, he gonna text me talking about, like, yeah, I'm at the fight.
Yeah. Yeah. I've talked to him. He's been at a Premier League game. He's been at heavyweight fights. I'm like, all right, man, cool. Enjoy.
Sounds good.
Sounds good. One day
it must be, is the great Life Jenny says must be nice.
Yeah. So, anyway, Cardi B found out that she was getting 5 Grammy nods when she was leaving court. Is that the quickest rubber band bounce back in life of all time? You walk out of court and they're like, hey, you got 5 Grammy nominations. Like, yo, what's good? Yeah. That's like finding the motherfucking onion rings in your fries. You'd be like, yo, what you doing here? Things was looking pretty regular until you popped up.
I mean, because she was in court for that assault situation, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And you already kind of mad because you gotta get up and get the court. You gotta dress up and all that kind of stuff. And dressing up is never dope in the mornings. Nah. It's only dope if you're dressing up in the afternoon or towards the night.
There's no point in life where you're getting dressed up in the morning and
you're happy about it. Even if you're going to work and you gotta put on a tie and a suit, you're like, fuck, man. I gotta put on a fucking tie, suit coat.
So Cardi missed court. She missed court on December 3rd.
Okay.
And then she was facing a warrant, so she had to go on the 7th, stemming from her misdemeanor assault charges. However, she was released quickly and didn't even have to post bail. And then people started hitting her with those questions about her Grammy nominations because she was in court. And you know when you're in court, you got to have your phone up. So she missed all of it. That might be one of the best rubber band moments of all time.
Yeah, because you can't have your phone in the court, though, talking to the judge.
That's basically putting your coat on for the first time that year and you got $20 in your pocket.
Oh, and everybody's had that moment.
Life-changing bread.
and it's always on time, though.
You always need that $20. But here's the thing. In the middle of the summer, you forget you got coats.
And you need, but you need it during the summer, though. You're like, God damn, man, I don't get paid till Friday.
Yep.
I need this. And then that coat is in a trunk, wrapped up, pressed down, and you open up and you don't find it until you don't even need it for real. I mean, you need it, but you don't. You may be somewhere getting ready to buy going to somewhere. You like, damn man, you may not put your hands in your pockets as soon as you even got that coat on. You just put your hands in your pockets to look for your phone.
Yeah.
Oh snap.
But
and you pull it out, you like,
hey, do you ever get that and like you feel it in your pocket and then you be hoping like, ooh, I hope this is like $50. And you take it out and that shit be like 5, but you still be like, yo, let's go.
Yeah, no. I mean, just because I don't think $50 is not in circulation like that like it used to be. So I'm assuming I don't have a $50 bill.
I haven't had a $50 bill probably in 3 years.
I've had a $50 bill in a long time, man.
I'm going to go get one tomorrow.
Just ask for the
bank. Yeah.
Like, I mean, when free time was at its height, I had some $100 bills and $50 bills on me.
$100 bills I'll have.
Yeah.
Like, I've had to get those from the bank before. But like, 50s, you just don't. It's a little bit
different.
Yeah.
Because if you had a 20, you might as well jump to 100 if you needed.
What currency, what amount of money would you like to have them make?
What you mean?
Like,
the look of it?
This would come up if I had this, like a $3 bill or like, you know, like $40 bill. $40 bill would be clutch.
Yeah, because you ain't got to bring it. But the 50 actually really kind of negates that.
I need like a 40 or 60.
But a 50 negates that though. 50 is like I'm gonna get 10 back too though.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like I'm gonna get 10 back. That's why that fit. But now things are so expensive. Really, you jumping up from a $20 to $100 bill. Like I'm talking about like purchasing wise. Like it's gonna be $25.99 or it's gonna be up to $79.99. Like it is very small in between purchases now where a $50 bill would be able to come out.
No, that's real. Who would you put on a $40 bill though? Hey, I need a $44 bill and you know why.
For Barack Obama. But I don't want, he don't need to be complicated though. He need to be something like a.
They ain't got to give it to everybody else. I want it.
Right.
Just pay me in Obama's, bitch. I want all my money in Obama's.
Even if you have to take $2 less extra because the number don't match up right.
All the things the brother president has done for me, I'll take the $2 less.
And just you want to donate it to.
I'm paying all my money. I'm paying all my things and money to serve black people.
$44.
$49 because I want a Lincoln.
You want to maybe put him on a $1,000 bill and take Grover Cleveland off of it?
No, I don't need that because I probably will never have that. That's a promissory note. You can't even spend it.
So at the Grover Cleveland?
Yeah. You can't even use it.
I don't even think you can even get a Grover Cleveland note. I mean, that's like literally, it's worth more than $1,000.
It's federal exchange money. Like, it's literally what they use to move money from bank to bank. Like, you can't use it. Like, if you take that to a place, they're going to be like, bro, we can't cash this. It's like a publisher's clearinghouse. And my thing is,
like, why did they think about even giving Grover Cleveland a $1,000 bill, though?
What the fuck did he do?
He was president. He was two different number presidents.
So?
He was like, I think he was 30 and 32.
What president needs more shine? Like, he should get some money with his grill on it.
A part of me wants to put Nixon on one.
Nixon?
Greed.
Man, that shit gonna be bouncing.
No, or greed. Or Reagan? I'm thinking about how much, because I wouldn't want to put Barack on it. Like, even I feel some type of way about Harriet being on the 20 coming out. I want it to be all oppressors or all the bills. The highest level of capitalism. That's why Trump need to be on the bill. Maybe he need to be on a $1,000 bill.
Not spending that. He would get upset if he's on a $1,000 bill.
Because he'd want to be
$10,000? Yeah.
And then if he's on a $10,000, he'd be on $100,000?
Yeah. He would just want to be on a $45 bill because Obama was on a $44. I'm one better. My ratings are better.
There was a $500 bill with William McKinley on it.
Willie McGee?
No, William McKinley.
Oh, I was about to say, damn.
And that's because he got popped, I think, because he died.
I mean, should we be putting people on that? What happened to the Harriet Tubmans? They said we ain't rocking with
it. No, the Tubmans coming. When Tubmans will be here, I think, 2020?
Ooh.
Hold on.
All right, so when you get that Tubman, where the first place you taking a Tubman to?
Hold on. The Tubman is coming in 2020.
Hey, first thing you doing with your first Tubman?
Yo.
Hey, I'm telling you right now, if you niggas are spending Tubmans in the strip club, you ain't shit. You better cash them jokers out before you go up in there.
You better come in there with a Jackson.
Nobody.
You can't come in there with no Tubman.
Yes. Take Andrew Jackson to Harriet Tubman.
No, Andrew Jackson can be here in an oppressor.
I know. Exactly.
Let oppressing money circulate.
He also shot a nigga when he was on his way to the Capitol.
Look here, man. This motherfucker did a lot of shit. So we had, just run through these random bills. This is going to be a random show, y'all. This is going to be a random show. Charles Sumner is on we had a $500 bill though for some years. Abraham Lincoln was on a $500 bill at first. Post-death, right after post-death, they gave him a $500 bill. Then William McKinley took over because I guess maybe it's the death note, because William McKinley was the next president to be killed, so they just transferred him right after he died up to the $500 bill. DeWitt Clinton, I don't even know who that is. He was on $1,000.
DeWitt Clinton?
DeWitt Clinton.
That sounds like the name you give somebody at the club when you don't want them to know who you really are.
He was on $1,000 bill in the 1800s. Then it went through a couple of people. Then in the modern, Alexander Hamilton was on there in the late 1800s, which is right. And then Grover Cleveland was on there in 1928. This motherfucker, I think he had just left office and they put him on. Yo, this motherfucker had just left office
in 1889,
and he was on the bill.
Yeah, they retired his number while he was. It was like them Prince.
He's still alive.
Like them Prince Akeems, dog.
And the $1,000 bill went all the way till 1934.
Who the fuck had $1,000 in 1934?
It's a $1,000 bill in
1934. You couldn't even get a goddamn beer, but you could get a $1,000 bill?
That's the year it stopped
circulating. You had like 50% of the money in America if you had a $1,000 bill.
Right after the Depression. you had a Grover Cleveland. And then James Madison was on the $5,000 bill for a grip. It was a $5,000 bill. In the early 1900s, late 1800s. Then we had a $10,000 bill. Woodrow Wilson, no, Salmon Chase was on a $10,000 bill in 1934. Now, this is the real egregious one. Woodrow Wilson was on a $100,000 bill in 1934. That motherfucker just left office in 1919.
Woodrow Wilson don't.
And he was racist as a motherfucker.
Yeah. That's a racist ass name.
Woodrow Wilson. Woodrow Wilson died in 1924. Oh, that's why he put him on there. Okay. But he just got out of office 5 years before he died then. Damn.
Okay.
Shout out to you, Woodrow Wilson.
You know the money I don't want. I don't want them William Henry Harrisons. Because them shits, you're going to burn through them shits.
Oh, because he died in like.
Motherfucker died like 45 minutes after he got in.
Because he did a fucking 10-hour speech.
And he walked the streets in the rain.
Well, no, he did a 10-hour speech, though, in the fucking cold in January.
Bruh. That's too much.
10 hours? What the fuck are you talking about for 10 hours?
Same shit we talking about, probably.
So I was with this one bitch, right? Yeah. And hey, I wouldn't have. So I was with this one chick though, and I told her I was gonna be president when I was 17. When I went to Harvard, because I went early. Y'all know I went to Harvard early, right? I got in early. That's something y'all still know my resume, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, we can keep going. So I was hanging out with, you know, shout out to Abe. Rest in peace to Abe. I was with him though, right? So we and him drinking though. We in Lincoln drinking. Oh, they weren't calling it Lincoln then. It was called Harrison. So we drinking, we kicking it, and I'm like, yo, you know, it'd be dope if we both be presidents. And I'm here now.
The motherfucker did a full filibuster. He did like a whole afternoon on C-SPAN up in that bitch.
Dude, like 10-hour fucking speech, dude. It was something crazy like that, man. So yeah, banking those up on it to 100. And you know what? They probably, because of the illegal, I wonder if they changed the notes because of illegal shit, though. Because think about how more illegal money would be able to change hands easier with the higher bills.
True.
Because then I ain't got to bring a big old bag with 100s. I got the Woodrow Wilsons with 100,000. We can make this deal real fast. 10. Here go 10 Woodrow Wilsons. We done made this transaction.
10 Woodrow Wilsons.
We made $1 million.
That sounds like you got a bunch of Mario coins and maybe a few rings off Sonic, and you out here trying to make it pop.
Yo, I need somebody to bring the Woodrow Wilsons back if y'all going to do illegal shit.
Okay.
Them Woodrow Wilsons? Dude, them Woodrow Wilsons was making, yo, them Woodrow Wilsons was making deals real easy. You had it in your inside lapel.
I wouldn't even fucking know who it was. Like, looking at that dollar, I'd be like, who the hell is this nigga? Woodrow Wilson?
Look,
and when his when his album dropped.
And look, them the Louis Armstrong edition with him and Woodrow Wilson on the Louis Armstrong album. But think about if you were a big time bootlegger coming out of that era with the mafia. Here go 10 Woodrows, dog. I want your spot. Here go 10 Woodrows. Boom. I ain't got to bring this no briefcase.
Like Boardwalk Empire? Was he president like when Boardwalk Empire was on?
I think he was.
Oh, God.
So, but no, he was alive, so the Woodrow wasn't going on. But we did have the Grover Cleveland. The Grover Cleveland was changing hands, man.
Grover Cleveland pitched for the Cardinals when they beat the Yankees in 1927.
He was on the original squad that won it for the Cardinals.
Yeah, man, he got the last out. Babe Ruth got thrown out stealing
now
second.
Now this makes sense. The Department of Treasury is getting down with the FBI and the, you know, people that's rich to combat this by saying we can have smaller bills, it's harder to move the money. Cash wise. That's gotta be it, right? It's got to be the reason that you can stop illegal activity. It's got
to
be.
People back in the day used to really be on some, like, yo, we about to go over the top shit. Like, there was, like, a 6-star general. Like, but there was only a 4-star. They, like, skipped a whole fucking level. They was like, yo, my nigga needs 6 stars, though.
Like, there it is. He gave me a Woodrow. He could be a 6-star general.
You can buy an extra star in your fucking jacket.
How much was a Woodrow worth in now times?
How much so Woodrow 100,000. Could a Woodrow chuck if a Woodrow could chuck wood?
I'm looking at this. So 100,000 in 1934.
It's $6.7 billion.
How much today? $1.8 million right now.
You had half the money in America.
With the Woodrow.
What was one America's Woodrow GDP in 1934?
Good question.
$2.3 million.
America's GDP. America's GDP in 1934. They didn't, no. America's, well, they got 1929. Okay, no. America's GOP in 1934. Damn, they ain't got it on here. Let me see. Hold on now.
Gross domestic product.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at.
That are, for the people that might be going to econ with us for the first time here.
Damn, they got graphs and shit. I don't know why I'm looking at
it. In 1930.
Okay, so you're going up 30.
It was negative 8.5 growth rate, meaning that them Woodrows is bringing down the value.
Maybe that's why, too, though. Maybe that's what it is. Okay, no. The actual GDP for 1934 was $0.91 trillion. So, in theory, if you could accumulate, because that's 910 billion dollars. Is 0.91 trillion is 910 billion dollars.
Yes.
So if you could accumulate, if you could do the math for me, how many, if you can get accumulate,
I absolutely cannot do the math for myself, let alone you.
Hold on. If I can accumulate how a cascade of Woodrow's. So I got
point. Did you say a cascade of making it rain in early 1900s gibberish?
Yes, of Woodrow's.
Say, fella, why don't we go make a cascade of Woodrow's this evening at the old barn?
So if I had y'all know, I know y'all math, the people that know super math is probably like,
they're mad as shit at us.
Oh, they're like, you can't believe y'all educated.
Hey, listen, my nigga, y'all should have figured this out by now, right? The GDP back in 1929 was 1.1 trillion, but y'all got to remember that when we hit that come up in November, we act on another $20 million. So y'all stupid motherfuckers tell me how much money we really got going on right now.
Look, you need 9,100,000 Woodrow's to equal the whole country's worth.
Listen, man. How many Obamas can I get for one Woodrow?
How many Woodrow's were in circulation? That's the next question.
About six. Babe Ruth had a few. Who had money in 1930?
Babe Ruth. That sounds about right.
Jack Johnson.
Madam St. Clair from the bootlegging black people from the numbers runners in the early 1900s.
They had money.
Luciana. Lucky Luciano and all them. Those five families. Capone?
Yeah, okay. We get it.
Woodrow Wilson.
John Dollars. John Kennedy's granddaddy.
Oh, Joe Kennedy.
His dad, actually his dad.
Yeah. Circulation. Hold on. Let me see how many Woodrow's were in circulation. How many Woodrow Wilson dollars were in circulation?
Hey, can we, before we go on to our new segment here, I need to, like, a breaking moment in black culture has hit my phone.
As I look up now, the Woodrow's.
Earlier this week, there was a picture of former NFL quarterback, slightly active NFL quarterback, Robert Griffin III, that hit the internet.
With his snow bunny. You know, he only does with snow.
Only the snow.
Only snow bunny.
Only the snow. He's like Sub-Zero off Mortal Kombat. He's so deep in the snow.
You called him Sub-Zero.
Let's call that brother Sub-Zero. But he's on there with his white lady and maybe the most jagged of linings I've ever seen in my life. Like, his goddamn lining looked like Bart Simpson hair. Turned upside down like some teeth.
Pause. I'm going back to something you said. Now, the Woodrow, nobody could hold the Woodrow except for banks.
Exactly.
Like they said, even people with paper didn't have a Woodrow.
Yeah. Yeah. It was.
It's
a fiduciary note.
They said the Bureau of Engraving and Print only made these notes during a 3-week stretch from December 1934 to January 1935. Even the few plutocrats who had that much cash during the purchase couldn't carry one of the 100,000 bills. They were only used for official transactions with the Federal Reserve Bank and the Treasury of the United States. Because they ain't had no computers, nothing, though, y'all.
The Woody.
Damn, the Woody.
Shout out to the Woody, dog. But RG3 has given into the pressure and got himself a fresh lineup.
Oh, man, this
and a box.
So everybody hitting them up about that.
And he tweeted, "Y'all win."
Cause he had that fucking Eddie Munster going on, a black Eddie Munster going on.
Bro, now he looked like Wesley Snipes in Passenger 57, though.
And kind of like Blade a little bit on that picture.
Yeah. Every Western.
That's better than what he had, though.
New Jack City's on HBO Go right now.
Oh, it's so fulfilling watching New Jack City as an adult, though. Like, I get so giddy at moments.
I want to buy a Jeep Wrangler and just ride that bitch around.
With the top off, with the T-top off?
With a rope chain on.
and dice in my hand. Shout out to my 90s party. I had my dice and my 40.
I saw that, man. Shout out. What was up with the 90s party, man?
Oh, like,
what was
dope,
the world,
man.
What was the world like for you?
It was good, man. I had a cell phone.
Now, why were you at a 90s party?
Oh, it was for Janae's Christmas party.
Okay, so it was a Christmas party. Mm-hmm. It was a 90s party.
The 90s party for Christmas.
Like, Christmas parties have started to become doubled down as, like, theme parties now.
Yeah.
That's not Christmas.
I have a great costume for next year that I'm doing in the next one. She's doing a 90s one next year. I'm going as Captain Save-A-Ho.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going, if my paper is correct, I'm going to pay for a phone booth to come in, for I can do my little spin around in the booth and change my clothes in the booth, though. I want to be saved. Remember, he came out doing a little cabbage patch.
I need to secure that invite and go as Ken Griffey Jr.
Because that Ken Griffey Jr. in the 90s was everything.
I got
you
got
to get the shoes, too.
I got the shoes still.
You got them still?
At my mom's crib. Yeah, they there.
You got to get some new cream clean ones, though.
No, they should look pretty good. They all leather. They wipe off.
Ooh, so they clean.
Yeah, they good.
Okay, but no, so my outfit, I had the Brick's phone coming in the mail, but it came from Europe. Now, I'm still getting it because I can put my SIM card in there, mm-hmm. and I can still use it. Only problem is I don't know you only can see just the number that's calling you. Your phone book is set up. You have to use the arrow and go all through all of them. So you start at A, and you got to manually go through all of them. Now, how gangsters is going to see to me out somewhere though with the Brick phone, though? The big cell phone.
Somebody's going to shoot you for something that somebody else did 30 years ago.
Like, he looked like the dude that killed my brother.
We found this nigga.
And he got out.
He just got out. He wearing the same shit.
He didn't got that Ameritech phone. And Ameritech phone.
Right. His phone still works somehow. We don't quite know, but.
So, RG3 with this haircut, though, man.
Bro, it's the most appropriated box in the history of haircuts.
So, like, dude, RG3, he really played to the pressure, though.
Yeah.
Like, he got flamed, though.
Yo, he got hit. Like, it was bad business. Like, he was getting murdered. Like, that lining looked like if somehow this is possible, this is what it looked like. His lining looked like the face of the moon. It had divots in it and craters. We not quite sure if anybody ever been there before, but we think we seen it, so we just gonna roll with it. Like, that lining was a whole different type of thing. Like, I think I've gotten enough linings in life that my lining can't do that. Like, my hair just will stop growing. Like, my hair respects me enough not to be aligned like that. It won't grow in.
Anymore.
Yeah. It won't grow in to a point where it embarrasses me like that. Like, his hair, RG3's hair don't respect him at all.
Yeah, dude, RG3 with this, though, dude. The biggest mistake of his career, he said. God damn. Y'all win. Like... RG, but it's like, I can't be mad at RG3, man, because he grew up in an all-white area. White family adopted him. He don't know no better. He don't know no better, man.
I mean, if you don't know no better, can you not be better?
Yeah, I mean, but there's some people that grew up in small towns as black that still know right about them about getting a goddamn good hairline and going to the hood to get your haircut. White woman or not.
He looked like he needed to go eat some Chinese food and get himself together. Just figure out who he's supposed to be. He looked like he ain't never had no chicken that was fried the right way. That's what that line is.
But he grew up in all white. I mean.
Okay. Let's rank the whitest quarterbacks on the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson is the least.
Oh, by far.
Joe Flacco second. And RG3 is the whitest quarterback on the Baltimore Ravens right now.
Yeah, Flacco will probably be more black than RG3.
Flacco took the picture throwing the deuces up after they won the joint while his lineman was looking at him like, what the hell is wrong with him? Like, that was a blacker moment than RG3's had in his entire career.
I agree with
that. The only thing that was holding RG3's blackness together was the fact he could run, but he can't do that no more, so now he just might as well, you know, be Vinny Testaverde or, you know, or who's the whitest quarterback of all time? I think it's Vinny Testaverde. I think it's got to be.
Bernie Kosar.
Yeah, there you go. Right, man.
The name itself.
So we got a treat that we want. We got something new we want to do for y'all this week before we get to some of the time tested favorites. We came across this and it just was too good not to share with y'all. So real quick, we want to present to you the story of how Prince joined Rick James on the road and the fallout that came after.
Here we go, y'all. This is actually from Tales of the Tour Bus. So if you have been on YouTube, anything like that, you've heard this already.
Cops in Buffalo, they had found a new nemesis, a rival who would push Rick James for the rest of his life, the artist known simply as Prince.
Rick was the one who chose him to come out and open up on his tour because he was released from the Rolling Stones tour because they didn't care for him that much. Rick came to the band and asked, what you think about Prince?
Rick's thing was, when he was coming out, there was no Prince. Now, Prince had some records. Prince was a little softer, but that shit was funky. And that shit was completely different. Because a lot of white audiences came out to see Prince, and Rick was smart enough to realize that. Like, okay, then we need to have this little kid on tour with us. This was his very first black tour. Black audiences loved Rick from the get-go. Different from Prince.
The first time we met him, he was in Dallas. And we found out that he was going to be opening and whatnot, and hey, Rick said, here he comes. And I'm looking. And he comes in, and I'm still fucking looking. Where is he? I'm thinking the cat's got to be like 5'9", maybe 6 foot tall. And this little bitty son of a bitch walks in there and said, God damn, he's tiny. He was down here. And he had on pink high heel fucking shoes. Stunning.
That little dude, that's Prince.
You know, us being so tall, I mean, he seems like a dwarf, but he was so powerful on stage, you know?
I liked the son of a bitch. He was funky as hell to me. But Rick used to get mad because I remember him saying, that little motherfucker got me working hard. Because he was a bad little motherfucker, man. He was funky.
Every show, Rick was on the side of the stage watching Prince. Prince was on the side of stage watching Rick. They both understood where this shit was about to go.
I think Prince, if he was in this room, God bless his soul, he would say it. Prince would do his show, and then we'd do ours. And 9 times out of 10, when we got finished with our show, people forgot who the fuck the opening act was. We used to kick his little ass every motherfucking night. I mean, we blowing up shit on stage, pyrotechnics and shit, bitches and whatnot. We had ballerinas dancing shit for us, man. You can't do that. Damn, who was opening up? Oh, yeah, that was Prince. They would forget when we got through with that ass.
Prince would push Rick to step up his game in more ways than one.
Rick told me when I became one of the background singers that he was starting a female group.
Joanne McDuffie was a part-time jazz singer and part-time record store clerk when she met Rick James back in their hometown of Buffalo.
Female groups at the time, you know, there weren't a lot of them. The biggest thing that came down the pike at that point was the Supremes. Rick's idea was to create a group of women that were not wearing the same dress and the same gloves and the same wig and the same shoes. He said he wanted to create a female group. And I guess he put forth that idea to Prince, and Prince did it first.
Prince produced the all-girl group Vanity Six.
Rick, he's pretty pissed about that. But anyway, I became lead singer for the group that he produced, the Mary Jane Girls.
Prince also started up another band around one of his childhood friends, The Time, featuring Morris Day. Rick answered with his own group, Process and the Do-Rags.
Everybody in the house tonight, who feels that you do what's right, put your do-rags in the air and wave like you just don't care.
Whatever Prince was doing, we had to do better. A lot of people don't realize that motherfucker had Rick working his ass off.
I remember that.
So yeah, man, Rick.
Hey man, if you had to put a group together that represented
on tour all together,
you had to put a group together. What's their ass name? The what in the Do-Rags?
It was the in the Do-Rag. Damn, we just played it. Hold on, I'm gonna pull it back.
Ops and Buffalo.
Hold on, because I'm gonna pull up the Process and the Do-Rags.
The Process.
And the Do-Rag.
And the Do-Rag.
Which was his answer to Morris Day and the Time.
So if you had to, so was it like Joel Embiid?
No, it was the Process.
I think the Sixers should be called the Process and the Do-Rags now. With Joel Embiid, the Apex Predator, and Ben Simmons all together.
Yeah,
that's a
great idea. Yeah.
They the Do-Rag, and J.J. Redick. Those are the Do-Rags.
J.J. Redick is about their life now.
J.J. Redick is the white dude that was in that group, All for One.
All for One. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, because Rick was mad that he stole his idea for the Mary Jane Girls and flipped it and did Vanity Six.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, fuck it. You got the time? Fuck it. I got the process and the do-rags.
Because that is equivalent to each other.
I mean, maybe at the time it felt like it. I don't know.
Listen.
But this is not bad decision, though, listen, in hindsight.
Listen, man. Each week we're going to play another one of the stories of the Chronicles between Rick Danes and Prince.
We're going to get you all the way up to your new year with this.
I don't think that there's two people that I admire in as unique a ways as Prince and Rick James. This is
there's a couple of people, but these are some. They're in the top 10 of people that I admire.
However, we can't go too much longer without getting down to this week
in racism. All right, this week in racism.
Hey, Nick Cannon is out for social justice. He decided that, nah, y'all not finna keep on just hitting us and not calling anybody else to the middle. So, in a little bit of a twist for what this week in racism usually is, this is not about calling somebody out for being just outright dumb. But instead, Nick Cannon is calling out people saying, hey, if you're gonna hit us, y'all better get them too. See, And it goes back to the thing about Nick went and found old tweets from Amy Schumer and Sarah Silverman and one more white female comedian. But either way, he went and got them and said, hey, y'all gonna have to call them out as well. Well, so where's the reaction gonna be? And it all comes from the fact that Kevin Hart had to step down from the Oscars. Was it the Oscars?
Chelsea Handler's other one.
What?
Chelsea Handler's the other one.
Oh, Chelsea Handler's the other. But it was the Oscars that Kevin Hart had to step down.
Yeah.
He had to step down because of the fact that he had some old tweets where they're saying they're being insensitive like that. But Michael Che had a great point this weekend on SNL where he said, hold up, didn't the Academy nominate Mel Gibson?
Again. Recently for that movie about
the... Oh, dude. Exactly. And that's what it is. They're talking about he's coming back again. So here's the thing. Y'all can't keep on trying to suppress us for the things that we got to say and y'all not handing these punishments out evenly. We not allowing that to happen. Period. Point blank. We going to start treating y'all motherfuckers like that dude on that island did last week, like them island people did dude last weekend that came through and tried to bring that Christianity through and left with a spear in his fucking head. See, that's how we going to start treating this. So shout out to Nick Cannon, freedom fighter extraordinaire, for exposing people for their inequity.
Exposing the system, man. Thank you, man. This is the first black man. This is actually an appreciation in racism, maybe even more. But we know the game and what it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know, man. That situation with Kevin Hart was just weird to me in general.
I mean, shout it out. I mean, the Academy asked for him to apologize for old homophobic tweets and stand-up bits, which he refused to do. You can't ask somebody to apologize for their stand-up. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, you need to take that back. That's not... I think that the Oscars have gotten way too sensitive. They started to become like a stand-up, like a soapbox.
But to play devil's advocate in this, he could have just fell back and just said, hey, man, that was a long time ago. I'm sorry about that. And kept it pushing.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of doubling down on the other side, though.
I mean, if it was just about the gig, yeah. But I think Kevin...
I'm saying in general, he could just played it off and be like, yeah, that was a long time ago. I'm sorry about that, though, y'all. And just start laughing and chuckling and kept it moving.
Oh, sure.
He doubled down, though, with the serious whole thing, laying in bed and all that shit. Like, you know, I'm not going to be... I'm like, oh, man, he could have laughed off, did the Kevin Hart shit. Laugh off, like, oh, man, I'm sorry for that, though, y'all. You know how... I'm sorry for that. But, you know, that was in my past. And played it off and laughed.
Played it off, made people think it was genuine.
Yeah.
Is the issue.
Yeah, keep it pushing.
I don't know. I mean, I think
Kevin Hart would have been a good host, though, actually.
Oh, yeah, he would have been a good host. But, hey, my thing about it is, good for him. But Nick Cannon wasn't letting it just be even.
So, but the next host is going to, they're not going to get a host after this.
So here's the thing. Here's the thing I like, though, is that Nick Cannon went and did that, and he just decided that he was going to go get some people. Like, because you know who's been riding high through this whole thing? White women. They've been riding high. They ain't had a big 2018.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they rallied from the 2017 that was year one of Trump.
And it was a good year for black women, too. 2017 was a great year for black women, too.
Yeah, absolutely. So here's my thing that I want to see. Who's going to be the white male comedian that then goes and gets some black women? Hey.
Gary Owen.
I'm going to tell you right now.
Gary Owen.
No, it's going to be somebody completely white. It's going to be like John Mulaney or something like that. Like, I'm just talking about a truly
you're
white.
You're talking about somebody like... Just,
yeah, it's got to be the it's got to be the complete antithesis.
Like Jed Apatow or some shit.
Yeah, well, no, Jed Apatow. No, he's not going to do it. I'm telling you, like a stand-up, a white stand-up comedian. Mm-hmm. Like, is going to do it. And it's going to be like, hey, well, black women say this and this. If it's one thing on earth, you'd be like, mm-mm. There's going to be people at the academy be like, don't talk about black women. Don't do it. We owe them too many. We owe them too many trophies. We can't stand behind you.
We still
you
owe women. Angela Bassett a trophy.
Somebody's gonna go on stage at the Grammys and say something ridiculous this year, though, and I can't wait for it.
My thing is, if I'm any comedian or anybody, I wouldn't host this year after that.
Who would you have host?
They gotta go back to Eddie Murphy.
Oh shit, he's a comedian.
Yeah, but they gotta go back. They gotta go back to the well. Somebody that they pushed off of, because remember, he was the only reason he didn't host the 1 year is because Brett Ratner, I guess, is his boy, and all that drama Brett Ratner went through.
I think now they gotta have like a gay dude host it, though. Like, the standard turnaround thing is that when somebody says something against somebody, then you gotta have somebody that's represented be a part of it. So Nick Cannon might have went ahead and did a huge favor for
Neil Patrick Harris.
There it is.
Neil Patrick Harris.
There it is. Dwight Howard.
Oh my god, dude.
All right. I think this has been This Week in Racism.
Are we back?
Get that paper, Dwight Howard.
Oh man. Oh man. So Jacquees, the singer, has come out and said he's the king of R&B. This is the topic for the night. Ladies and gentlemen, this is our scenario. When you chew off more than you can chew.
You bite off more than you can chew.
Yeah, there you go. Good. Thank you for your correction. Bite off more than you can chew in general.
I don't think
you understand. False proclamations early, too.
Listen, you got to have an understanding of who you are in the world, right? Like, I think it's important for you to always understand who you are. I don't know who this guy is. And just because I don't know who he is doesn't mean anything that he can't be somebody. There's plenty of things I'm not aware of that are significant. But I feel like if you were the king of R&B, I'd at least be aware of you.
Yeah, his name is Jacquees. Like I said, again, he's from Decatur. His main song that that people know him from is B.E.D., The Bed. You know, he basically took the Avant song from...
I know what it is.
Yeah, but he took that. Yeah, but he took that for.
I had to look up the king of R&B. I had to know who it was.
He also is only 5'5".
How tall is Bobby? Like 5'9"?
No, Bobby's like 5'10", 5'11".
Nice, tall enough.
Yeah.
Listen, you can't be the king of R&B. You just can't be. Like, if there was going to be a royal court of R&B, this dude wouldn't be in it. I'm just going to keep it real.
And I think part of this is him trolling, though, trying to get some...
Oh, for sure. It's working because he's got people talking about him. But at the end of the day, you got to realize your place in the whole thing. You got to realize your position, the position that you play. And that's most certainly not it. Come on, man. The king of R&B? Might as well call yourself the king of pop.
Yeah, you can't do that. The king of R&B is... Bobby Brown. But he was saying currently, like the current.
No, there is no current kings. Either you're a king or you're not.
Just giving him the price of what he said.
It's like the thing that irks me when you hear people say it's a couple of goats. Like, that's redundant. You literally can't have a couple of the greatest of all time at doing the same thing.
You can have a couple of different kings, though, because there's kings in different reigns.
There's the king in the north.
And then there's different kings in different reigns. Every king has, some king has to die, though, for another king to exist.
But Bobby's still alive. We just saw him last month.
That's true. Yeah, he isn't dead yet. Yeah, he's right. No, you're right. And Rick James has died in 2014.
Prince died. Rick James dead.
Marvin Gaye's dead. Joe LaVert's dead, even though, I mean, I just like Joe LaVert.
I was about to say, hold up.
Joe LaVert is dead, though.
He's gone. Now that we can't
debate. we can't.
Teddy Pendergrass dead, ain't he?
Yeah, he's dead.
So Teddy Pendergrass gone.
But he was paralyzed for a long time. So
was Roy Campanella, but, you know, he's still in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. What's some other moments where people
just
proclaim themselves too early? I got one we talked about earlier that we talked about this sport earlier. Eric Lindros with hockey.
Did he declare himself?
Yeah. He was eating that up when Katz was like, he was the best. Remember, he refused to play for the Nordiques. Remember, because I'm the best thing that's popping.
Well, yeah.
And he forced the Nordiques to trade him to.
Yeah, he was just pulling the John Elway, though.
Is John Elway the first one person to do that?
No, like people on did. First? Bill Russell did that.
Really? I did not know that.
He told the Hawks not to draft him.
Well, that's different. I'm talking about where they actually drafted
him. He wasn't going to go. And back then, Katz was smart enough to say, all right.
I ain't going to draft you.
I'll just take somebody
now
else.
People got the ego to be like, fuck it, I'm going to draft you.
That was Le'Veon Bell. Who ain't making a dime this year.
But yeah, I'm down with Le'Veon Bell's protest. Me and you disagree on that.
I say if you're going to protest, at least have some type of positive outcome.
He's going to have one. He'll be good.
He ain't never going to make that $14 million he ain't make back.
That's fine. My body is still good.
Okay.
I got one less year of concussions.
Your body be good, and then you tear that knee up.
That's fine, but it's one less year of concussions.
I ain't eating no Jell-O. We sat here and got told by the master of the franchise tag to take the franchise tag.
No, I get it.
But here's my thing. It's like, don't come out proclaiming yourself to be the king of anything that you can't back up.
You haven't been in the game a year and a half, 2 years.
Like, you come out and say you the Popeyes of... I'm like, what? Hold up. What you say?
You the Harold's Chicken Shack.
Yeah, you can't.
Of the game. Nah.
Don't come out here saying you Popeyes when you really churches.
You just hop at a moment because you cheap.
Oh, you them breaded chicken strips in that bag that you get at the store.
Chicken strips. Not the breaded chicken strips.
Don't be the breaded chicken strips of R&B.
That's real. That's real. What's the other circumstances you think where somebody was crowned too early? Harold Miner?
That was always bullshit. Baby Anytime Jordan. You call anybody Jordan, you fucked up. I think we rushed the crown to Chris Brown's head, and he didn't know what to do with it.
And he fucked it up.
Yep.
Chris Brown could be the fucking shit if you'd fucking won the... Fucking been a dick and fucking beat up Rihanna and just being a dick in his life afterwards.
Yeah, man, how you beat up Rihanna? Like, bruh. Island woman, crazy. I get it.
But you knew what she was coming into with the island.
You knew what time it was.
You know it's an island woman. You know you getting them early.
You knew what time it was. You did this to you.
Yeah. I don't feel sorry for you. You signed up for this shit. You know it's going to be some crazy shit. She going to say some crazy ass shit to you about fuck your mom. You know that's going to happen with her.
You got to take that crazy, though, so that you can live your best life.
And he fucked it all up. His career, his trajectory right now would be so much in another spectrum if it wasn't for all that shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he'd be a completely different person.
And then he tried to do the Bobby Brown, I guess, trying to be the... The
bad boy
or R&B, but I think we're like the game is too open for him to be that. It's too many people in your private shit. Bobby was a bad boy, but it's like you see him pop up every 3 or 4 months with some shit. Chris Brown all on the gram, fighting Drake in the club, all kind of different things that we find out about all the time. Bobby Brown was just heard to be the bad boy R&B just because he was kind of edgy.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Brown was literally doing some ill shit all the time.
Yeah, like stay the hell away from him level ill.
Yeah.
You know, like, don't get too close to this dude. He might cause some issues.
Any other?
RG3.
Ooh. Mention him. Crowned him too early, huh?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did we crown Iverson too early?
No. Iverson's career was what it was supposed to be.
I'm just throwing out names.
Think about somebody like, is this a politician?
Yeah, that's who you got.
That we hit? I don't know. I'm asking you. Is that a politician we put out there? Jesse Jackson?
No, he had a good run, though. But we did crown him early, though. But it was warranted just because he was around King and all that good stuff. So it makes sense.
So he was happy to be here, the ultimate happy to be here guy?
Oh, that moved himself up to the superstar. One of the few times it's ever happened. Where somebody went from happy to be here to superstar.
Mm-hmm.
Just by attrition.
Mm-hmm.
Just simply by attrition. And everybody else died around you. Ooh, Jay Electronica.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like the first round bust of much hype rappers.
Jay Electronica, we crowned him early. Cannabis, too.
Hell yeah. Lupe Fiasco.
He's still having a sustainable career. Lupe, like, Cannabis.
But it took a turn.
But we didn't crown him as like one of the greatest. People were crowning Cannabis like he's supposed to be the
around
next.
Where I was, people was.
With Lupe?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think the
like next
the
it was like at that particular at that particular time, like next Kanye.
DMX.
I think DMX lived up to what he was supposed to be though.
But I'm just throwing it out there because he was crowned as like the next thing. There's some other hip hop ones too though. Brandy is a singer.
Yeah, maybe.
She's supposed to be the next Whitney Houston, remember? They was crowning her that like she was the next joint. They was crowning her. Who's some other people that we crowned too early? Ooh.
What's a movie that we wanted to
do? This
one,
people gonna be mad when I say this one before you even go there. Lauren London.
Yes.
We crowned her too early as the next Halle Berry.
Well, I hope nobody did that.
But I mean, like for that age group of like how bad she was and like what she was going to do trajectory-wise in her career. I think we crowned her as that.
I don't know. That might be a different.
Oh, the streets crowned her though, dog.
Might be a different. I mean, I know the streets was buzzing for her, but Halle Berry.
It's iconic, but I'm saying like she was on that.
I think you got to look at Lauren London as like the next hood princess.
But then who was the first hood princess then?
There's been a lot of hood princesses. Aaliyah's a hood princess.
No, she's not a hood princess.
How many white dudes have you ever talked about how bad Aaliyah is with?
Because it was a different time, though.
I'm just saying.
Halle Berry transitioned from, she was a hood princess too, though. Strictly Business, Last Boy Scout, you know what I'm saying? Boomerang. She was in all black movies for a minute. It wasn't
But see, black movies doesn't equate to being a hood princess, though, either. Like, as soon as Halle Berry was doing major shit, though. Lauren London never did anything on the level of what Halle Berry did.
But she had a trajectory to be able to do that, though, I feel like.
I don't think she ever got to a point where I was like.
She was nothing past Nunu.
She wasn't never much more than the McRib to me.
Okay.
Now, the McRib is tasty.
But it's seasonal.
But it's seasonal, and it's here for a limited time only.
What about Sanaa Lathan?
She did what she is. I don't think it's not like it's a
buzz. There's no other Holly coming out. I'm trying to think of somebody like that everybody's like, yo, she was it. She supposed to be like the next kind of like it girl like on that level like that.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, either way it goes. This brother is not the king of R&B.
Okay.
This is like, god damn it. I don't even.
He's got one song that people like and then he's got like another song. What's the name of his song? Let me see the song.
I don't care. Yeah. I don't care. Yeah. I honestly don't care. If I have to think about it, I don't have to think about the king of R&B songs. I just know them.
It's called You. The song tomorrow is called You.
It's not Rock With You, though.
No.
It's not Every Little Step.
No.
It's not Roni.
No.
And that's just the tip of the iceberg.
And then you got to throw Usher in the mix if you're talking about the king.
Yes. Oh, yeah. If you're talking about people that really can have the conversation, it's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
If you're talking about right now, talking about post-New Jack Swing or people that can step up to the mic and have conversations.
Usher. It might be Usher. Who else was really that dude R&B? Usher might be it. On that level is the other people that was kings of R&B before.
Well, we know who it is.
Jacquees.
Ralph Chesney.
Yeah, Ralph, man. Shout out to you, Ralph, man.
R. Kelly.
There you go. No, that's. I mean, as much as we don't dislike him, he is the king of R&B, actually, for this era. He's the post after Bobby Brown, big, but he's bigger than Usher, even.
That's interesting.
He's bigger than Usher. Even though he can't even dance.
I think
Usher actually has a better stage show and all that. Ain't nobody beating R. Kelly's got. Hit. Usher does too, but it's different. That King, that R. Kelly had a run, dude. We talking about 90 till 2010?
Yeah, we waited a little long to get R out the paint.
We took a long time for Cats was like, fuck it.
Like, Cats was giving R. Kelly 30 minutes of burn a night on the court, and we like, yo, this
And
dude.
They got Usher up out the paint early for the herpes rumors.
Usher also kind of got himself out the paint, too, by taking, like, 5 years off twice.
Yeah. Like, well, R. Kelly was like, nah, I'm finna come out with some new shit every 2 years, though, y'all ass.
Justin Timberlake left the door open for Justin Timberlake to step in and get that. What about Bruno Mars?
Bruno Mars, but is he the pop king?
It's tough to classify his music.
he's kind of in the Prince vein, where people won't say
Michael Jackson. Even
people don't want to call Prince and Michael Jackson R&B artists, but they shit was just more up tempo R&B. I don't know what it is. Either way,
but the traditional ground on R&B, Bruno and Mike aren't in that traditional R&B setting to me. Traditional R&B.
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about soulful non-dance R&B, I mean, that's a different thing. That's a different thing. I don't know. Either way it goes, Bobby Brown's still the king of R&B.
Yes, sir.
At the end of the day.
All right. Where can everybody hit you up at, man?
Yeah, you know where it's at, man. Cheap Seat Fan on Twitter. Cheap Seat Fan on Instagram. Always writing. Always producing. Got some new things coming from a few different angles. Going to be a good time. Yo, man, shout out to everybody that's got us climbing up the charts.
Yeah, man, right, dude. Now. We moving up, man. And this ain't the Jeffersons, man. It's definitely not. We ain't got no deluxe apartment.
So you got us up into the top 10 of the Podbean comedy podcast right now. Mm-hmm. Yo, keep the love coming. It's just getting started, just getting underway. Yo, we want to be there on iTunes. We want to be there on Spotify. We want to be there all these places. Tell a friend. Shout out to
everybody. Tune in,
Stitcher. Shout out to everybody who's spreading the word, who's sticking around, still enjoying it. We're going to be back next week, though, with a special seasonal episode. Of the scenario.
Jingle, jingle.
It's going to be a thing.
Make sure y'all hit us up on Twitter, Straight OLC, as well as Straight Outta Low Cash and the Scenario fan page on Facebook. And subscribe on iTunes, the same places as well, if you're just getting this randomly. And we'll see y'all next week with the dope Christmas episode for y'all. Peace.